Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad Lois Geller is here because she makes my day. Lois Geller, besides being an amazing personality, an amazing human being, she's got the experience and the wisdom to help you and me make sure that we put our best foot forward in the marketplace, and she likes sharing that information. That makes her a very special resource for you and me. Lois Geller, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
It's always a pleasure to have you back, and she's the author, folks, of all the important books. If you want to read about marketing, if you want to read about reaching customers, if you want to read about connecting with them, all you got to do is find Lois Geller and read all the things that she says, her books, her articles, her social media activity, and she'll help you with that. Lois, one of the things that I know you've been talking about lately is how to develop a marketing strategy that gives you an edge. You say that you see a lot of strategies that are thick for small, out here on Main Street, the ones I see are almost non-existent, let alone thick. What do you think?
Sometimes people come into my agency and they have a strategy that's about 40 or 50 pages long, and they say, just tell us your thoughts on the strategy. And I figure, well, that'll help my sleep that night, you know, to look at all that. But I encourage them to pare it down. And small businesses can have a sleek, targeted, interesting marketing strategy. And if they do, they'll find that all their efforts work better. Years ago, I worked at TVWA, and we had the Absolut Vodka account, and the advertising was all based on the target audience, which was an affluent or wannabe affluent kind of an audience. And so they decided to have the creative team got together, and they came up with a strategy that we would use the word Absolut and one other word on the advertising. And that was usually an artist, a modern artist that was, you know, really up and coming or terrific already. And so it would be Absolut Herring or, you know, Absolut Warhol. And they would then use that thing, that particular strategy, to draw every other marketing effort around it. And it was the simplicity of it that really made it work. But as small businesses, we feel like we have to do 4,000 things in order to make anything work. Mm-hmm. You know,
don't we also get it in our head that whatever we think we should be doing is what we do, instead of finding out what the customer thinks we should be doing? See, I'm kind of simple about these things, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lois. Tell me if the error of my ways here, but it just seems to me that if you, the way to keep it really simple is find out what your customers want.
Oh, that's so important. We had a client call last week, and this head of a hotel company called and wanted to talk about the spa group, and he said, well, that the ideas that you've come up with, and I had talked to about 35 of the people that actually use this facility. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm going to talk to my colleagues about this and see what they think of this idea. And I thought, well, are your colleagues in the target market, you know, are they all like 60-year-old men who've never even been inside a spa, you know?
Right.
Or are the people that I actually talked to while I was there? So I think the target market is truly an important part of knowing who you're talking to, and also what your unique selling proposition is. We always talk about What makes you unique? What is it that you have, that you can offer people, that you can blast out there in mm-hmm. some really creative way? And then you can really work on a strategy that makes sense.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I just see people. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that people have such a hard time engaging with customers other than just when they're not trying to sell them something? Just to have a conversation. Isn't that the power of social media? Is you can create an environment where you can have a conversation with customers, with prospects?
Yes, and you know, it's so funny. I was on a webinar the other day, and we were talking about the fact that LinkedIn is a great opportunity for you to talk to exactly the customer that you want. You can begin the conversation, and you can continue the relationship, and then eventually you can mention what it is that you're selling. But what happens on LinkedIn is people just get in touch with you and say, I want to sell you my printing, or I need a job in your company, and or I want to pick your brain. I think that's always the worst visual image, somebody picking away at my brain.
I accepted an invitation to link to somebody the other day. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of on the bubble. I went ahead and accepted them, and within 5 minutes I got a pitch from them.
And it's just like meeting somebody at a trade show or at a convention, right, where they're handing you the business card and they haven't even introduced themselves yet.
Right. Well,
they say, take my card, call me for insurance.
No, that's not as good as the ones who give you three cards and say, here, give these two to somebody else. I love that, right?
No,
but back to the marketing plan, Lois. What should the marketing plan look like?
Well, the marketing plan should begin with the background, and that's why are you doing this particular thing? And you could be saying, well, I have to sell my company, I have to sell insurance, I have to sell my service, whatever it is. But yeah, if you write down why you are doing this, it really gives you context for what you're going to do for your plan, and then put down the objectives. And if you do the objectives and make them as precise as you possibly can, usually only one goal with time limits. So if I want to sell 27 policies by the end of the first quarter this year, I should write down, I want to sell 27 policies by the end of this quarter. If I want to sell 400 products into stores, I should put that down by the first quarter. Mm-hmm. I'd make them specific.
So identify your goals for your mm-hmm. marketing, but then don't you need to go find out if these goals are compatible with your prospects? Hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you answer that after these messages.
Okay.
Right back with Lois Geller, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely and talented Lois.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.